This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Hello and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay. I'm Ajay Sani and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault, an expert payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 925-273-7020. Today, in the studio, I am with Jonathan Popp, who is a wealth management advisor. Through Westpac Wealth Partners, Jonathan and his team have been able to bring innovative financial solutions to small businesses, medical and tech professionals, high-profile artists, and families by identifying inefficiencies within their balance sheet. By creating individualized optimization strategies, his team's clients are able to consistently achieve their goals and grow beyond their self-imposed limitations. Jonathan says that what I love about Westpac is that we have an open source platform with no proprietary limitations on what we can or cannot do for our clients. This allows us to truly align with our clients' goals and develop a plan that is uniquely suited for each client. Good afternoon, Jonathan. How's it going?
Yeah. Hey, Ajay. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here. Really excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking forward to having this great conversation. I know you moved from Romania, right? Long time back. And then you're helping people achieve their financial dreams or American dream, whatever you want to call. So why don't you talk a little bit about yourself? How you end up doing such a, great job helping people with their finances.
Of course. Yeah. And for anybody listening, Ajay is the man. He's so great. He's done his homework. We've known each other here for a short time and been very fortunate to connect on a professional, but also a personal level. He's a great guy. And so, yes, I was born in Romania, emigrated with my parents as they fled from the communist era there, and grew up in Michigan, actually, in the Midwest. That's where a lot of Romanians kind of settled in due to, Motown and a lot of factory jobs out there and good opportunities for immigrant families to come in and earn a living, right? And so, growing up in the Midwest, watching my dad, he had his own small business that he kind of worked on and grew over time. And that, I think, naturally over time influenced me to want to also see what I could do for people who work in that environment, right? Business owners or businesses at large. And so my path, was kind of interesting because when I entered college, I was actually a music and education major and business minor on the side. And so I was always passionate about trading and investing stocks. I had in my own portfolio when I was 18, I took out some student loans. It's a funny story. I took out some student loans when I was in college and I used them to invest rather than pay for some of my classes. It actually worked out in my favor, thankfully, but you don't hear that too often, right? But it just so happened that, once I finished my professional kind of training in college, got my degree, I realized that, teaching in the school system was a limiting. And I really had a true joy and kind of my side hobby of, trading and investing my own portfolios started to organically flourish. And what I mean by that is I had family, friends who were like, hey, I see you know how to do that. Or, hey, can you open this type of account for me? Or, and that kind of over time grew. Mm-hmm. And my wife was like, hey, all these people are asking you all the time, like, what do you think if like this is something that you got into more officially, more full time. And I credit my wife for a lot of her support and great ideas. And this was one of them. And so I kind of jumped into the deep end and I was like, hey, I'm going to go get all my financial credentials. I've got all my licenses, certifications, et cetera, which I'm still pursuing. I call myself a lifelong student. And so there's other designations I'm working on now that I think will continue to enhance my skill set. But I've been in the industry for about 5 years now, working with clients on a one-on-one basis, on a family basis, as well as on a business owner level and business strategy basis too. And the firm I work with and I align myself with is Westpac Wealth Partners. We're a private firm based here in California. Our headquarters is in San Diego, but we have, offices in 7 different states and kind of a expanding, outreach and impact on the national level as we continue to scale and grow our firm.
Very good, Jonathan. A great journey. And I'm very happy for you for all the success that you have had. And for listeners, at times it's very easy to understand what financial advisors are doing for individuals, like, you know, just looking at their portfolio and helping them out. What role, you know, can you explain what role does a financial advisor plays when it comes to businesses, business owners? Because then there is more to it. It's just not, you know, the individual, like, you know, W-2 savings kind of a thing, but there's a lot to play with when it comes to businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you asked that question, because I think traditionally when you say I'm a financial advisor or I'm a wealth manager, the first thing people think of when you say that is stocks, right? Portfolio, managing my retirement account.
Right.
But that has morphed, and I'm glad that it has morphed over the years to where we are today, to where your advisor is really more of a financial consultant, coach, if you will, right? A specialist, someone who can connect you with the right people, the right resources, and the right opportunities, whether you're an individual or a business owner.
Right.
And so when someone says, hey, I'm a business owner, what can an advisor do for me? The way that we position ourselves is essentially the quarterback of your very own team. So you're the GM as a business owner. You tell us what you want to achieve and execute. Us as the QB, right? We're running the plays in order to be able to get you there and score those touchdowns, right? Or accomplish that specific target. And so what does that look like in practice, right? Us at the center, we're connected with your CPA. We're connected with your attorneys. We work hand in hand with your benefits providers. We work hand in hand with your payroll providers. And so what used to be a one-sided conversation between a business owner and an advisor now becomes kind of a roundtable discussion with all of these other individuals who are impacting the business's balance sheet. And so through this, then we can come up with optimization. So, hey, business, you know, the benefits broker, what can we do to try to optimize opportunities in this area and so on, right? And so that's really how we are positioning ourselves today, and how I think all successful advisor businesses and companies should be positioning themselves is as a role of a consultant and a connector, because that's how you're going to get the most value for your clients. People want to come to you if you know good people, if you're a good person, and if you're going to be able to effectively improve their balance sheet and their financial status.
Yeah. So you said when people or businesses come to you, and you are interacting with lots of businesses on a daily basis in different capacity.
That's right.
So what are, like, some of the common challenges you see when people come to you? What are they facing, you know, on average?
Great question. I mean, there's a huge list, of course, but, you know, I would say one of the first things is employee retention, especially with a low unemployment environment like we have right now, where the historically pretty low, and it has been for quite some time now. The job market is pretty competitive, right? I mean, if people want to hire really good talent, they want to make sure that they're not losing their best employee to somebody down the street for $5,000 more on their salary, right? And so part of our process is what we call the R's: recruit, retain, reward, retire your best employees, right? And so we look at your existing business. Hey, who are the key people that you really want around? How do we make sure that you're not losing them? Because if you were to go, Jay, let's say you took a vacation for a month, right? Who do you trust to actually keep the shop running while you're gone? And if, you know, you name two, three people, those two, three people, we got to make sure that we have a plan in place so that we're not losing them to your competitor down the street who could potentially, you know, steal a lot of your revenue by taking some of your top employees.
Yeah.
And so one of the biggest challenges businesses face today is certainly employee retention. And so that's an area where we can design custom, you know, what we call golden handcuff strategies, you know, incentivizing with the different cliff vesting schedules and being able to effectively incentivize long-term employment at a particular employer. So that's one, I think, the top areas that we have been looking at recently, whether your company's doing 1 million in revenue a year, 10 million or 100 million in revenue per year. We can design custom, essentially, golden strategies for executive top-level employees to essentially make sure that they're going to be there contributing for quite some time. And a secondary point I would say is, of course, taxation. Okay. Small businesses always are going to be hit with, you know, taxation, and how do you minimize and optimize that for your personal business? And so working with hand-in-hand with a good CPA as well as with a good advisor to implement certain strategies is one of the best ways that we can make sure we make a big positive influence on the balance sheet.
Right. And talking about balance sheet, sometimes they struggle with cash flow because they're not looking at the, you know, how they are getting their account receivables and all those kind of things.
Yeah, so, definitely.
So from your point of view, when it says you say consulting, you can look into various aspects, what they are looking for, where they are struggling. And
we're certainly not going to run your business for you, right? Like, that's not our role. Our role really is, what are your operating expenses, right? And out of those, what can we touch and impact that would become more efficient? Efficiency is the name of the game, right? I mean, lower operating expenses is higher margins, more profits, right? It's pretty straightforward. And so the areas that we can impact, we make sure that we do our due diligence and we dive deep into, you know, whether it's the benefits, the group benefits that they're providing or the payroll provider, what are the fees? You know, there's a ton of hidden fees in the financial industry.
Right.
Tons of hidden fees.
Exactly.
And so you got to work with somebody who's willing to point it out and say, hey, you can be getting a lot better and it'll save you a lot on your operating expenses too.
Right. So you mentioned, you know, these couple of key challenges that business owners are facing or they come to you. How do you solve, like what approach you take to sort of help them out?
Yeah, great question. So we kind of have an established onboarding process at Westpac where if you're a business owner, you're interested in our services or, hey, how can your team, your business resource team help us out? Mm-hmm. It's pretty straightforward. We get together. We have it's essentially 3 or 4 meetings that we kind of predetermine. And along the way, we'll see if it's a good fit for us to continue and if there's an opportunity for some of our services. Sometimes we refer out, right? If it's just like a small thing that needs tweaking, we have partners that we can bring in for certain things. Mm-hmm. But at Westpac, our process is essentially, you know, let's do an audit, you know, a friendly audit. It's not an IRS audit, right? But it's essentially a taking an accounting of what's currently going on at the business. Where do you stand today?
Yeah.
Right? So that's usually meeting number one is let's get all the info, the data, everything gathered so our team can analyze it. Mm-hmm. Right? Once we do the analysis and then we combine that with a meeting of where do you want to go? Right? Because certainly you've gotten to where you are today, whether you're happy about it or not.
Yeah.
You know, you find yourself in your current circumstance, right? Mm-hmm. And so the next part of that is where do you see yourself going? Whether it's 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road. Do you see yourself selling the business? We have exit plans. Planning strategies? Do you see yourself growing the business? We have strategies for that. Or are you just happy maintaining what you got and you just want to make sure you're not, you know, overpaying on this service or paying too much in taxes on that thing, right? And so regardless of where you are on the growth journey, we'll kind of identify in that second meeting, how can we get you to that target, right? And then the third meeting and subsequent meetings would be essentially our implementation and suggestions. And so we say, hey, based on what you currently have in place, based on where you want to go,
right?
These are the things that you're going to want to do over this timeline to get there. And so whether that's a 5-year, 10-year projection, whatever it is, we're making a commitment with our clients. We want to be around long-term. We're not a one and done or we're not selling products, right? We really operate in a relationship business. And so we want to be with our clients for the next 5 to 10 years and beyond so that we can see the impacts of our strategies in real time, right?
Right.
And so, hey, this is our list of suggestions. If you like what we came up with, then boom, we strike a relationship and we go on from there. But our consultation process is completely complimentary. We don't charge clients for coming in. And we've had tons of business owners come in and we give them our recommendations list. And, you know, they have the right, quote unquote, to just take our recommendations and leave, right? But they're like typically so happy with what we've come up with that we end up making a partnership and it all works out for the better.
Right. And one of the things that I've seen with our, you know, limited interactions that we had of late, that you not only help the business owners addressing or answering or making recommendations, you know, you as an expert, what they are coming to you for, but you also are a good connector. You try to connect your, you know, potential clients or your clients to other players in the industry who can complement, who can support what you are doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of our business, right? And it's, if you take good care of the people around you, they're also going to take good care of you. And not being selfish, right? There's enough out there, whether we're talking about money, opportunity, you know, relationships, there's enough out there that everybody can freely give and always there's more to still receive, right?
I fully agree to, you know, with this approach. And also, ultimately, it's all about the clients we are serving.
Yes.
What's in the best interest? If we know someone who can serve them, you know, really well, then it's our duty actually to help our clients by saying that, like, hey, almost encourage them that, okay, hey, you should be talking to this person because I know this person can really help you.
Yeah. So absolutely.
That's a service to our clients if we have that mindset, okay, hey, you need the service and I think I know someone who can really help you.
Yeah.
And the clients appreciate that part because then they know that, okay, hey, they can trust more because they know that this group or these people are, you know, looking for my best interests.
Yeah. It's the golden rule, right? It's treat others how you would want to be treated or put others before yourself and, you know, operating in a true fiduciary capacity, right? Mm-hmm. I can't do anything for myself that would be better for me than it would be for a Jay if he's my client, right? Yeah. And so that's a simple rule we live by at Westpac and certainly impacts our relationships and, and the way we view connections, whether they're professional or personal connections. It's always, let's just give freely and connect the best people with the people that they should know.
Absolutely. So the other question I have in, you know, my mind is at times we decide for a particular service.
Yeah.
And we, you know, as a business owner, whether it's a retention problem, taxation, whatever issues, right? And a question comes to the mind that, okay, hey, let me talk to a business owner or who can help me or another business who can help me or another advisor. And Google search is not the best help. You search, there'll be tons of options out there, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So how do you really decide, okay, this wealth management advisor or this company would be a good fit for me? How to pick when there are so many options available in the market?
Yeah, no, that's such a powerful question. Yeah, that's a super powerful question. And it's something that I think we get asked very, very often as advisors, why pick you over somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way that I view this, as well as our team at Westpac views this, is if you think about the investment space of wealth management, because it is part of what we do, right? I would say it's maybe 25% of what we do for our clients, right? That, in a sense, has become commoditized. Right. And what I mean by that is in you know, anybody can download Robinhood app or any other app. I don't want to promote anything, but any app and get on there and buy an index, right? Whether it's an S&P proxy index, ETF, NASDAQ, et cetera. It's pretty simple for somebody to Google best investment ETF and then buy it themselves, right? Back 40 years ago, that wasn't always the case. You had brokers calling, hey, do you want to buy this? Yes, I want to buy this. Then they have to do the exchange on your behalf. Now it's so simplified and streamlined, there's really no barrier there. And so that's a great thing for the consumer, but also a dangerous thing because general advice is not always specific to the individual. And so, you know, what sets apart a good advisor and a good advisory team is that we're moving away from that commoditized space, and we're also kind of doing a more complementary, comprehensive approach. Right. And that kind of goes to what I was saying back at the start of our conversation, that we're more of a consultant or a coach or a kind of a specialist that you're bringing in. Right. And to be more defined and more clearly helping you on the things that AI can't answer for you. Google can't answer for you. You know, what's the best way to set up your estate? Right. For taxation purposes, but also how do you handle family dynamics? What if somebody is going to inherit more money than somebody else? Right. Or, you know, these questions, AI and Google may not have that nuance. And who knows, maybe 50 years from now, that might change. But there is always a role for a human connection and a human touch. And I think that when you're looking for a good advisory team or somebody that sets themselves above the rest or above the crowd, number one, you have to make sure that they're operating as a fiduciary, which means that they're going to put your best interest first. Number two, that they're in the same space or in the same, I would say, streamline as where you're going, right? If you're a business owner, make sure you're working with an advisor that specializes in business owners. Don't work with an advisor who's focused on investments only.
Right.
And there's great investment advisors that do a great job, but they're not going to know exactly what to do for you and position you, you know, if they're only doing in that arena, right? Working in that arena. And thirdly, making sure that you have an advisor who's well-connected and who brings a whole team to the approach, right? We can't be everything for all people. And that's not what we promise to be. What we promise to be is a great connector, bringing the right resources to the table and making sure that we always have their best interest at heart, right? And so that's the top three things: is fiduciary, working in your same interest with your business or your personal goals. And then thirdly, have a good team approach, because one person is not an expert in everything. And honestly, even a whole team is not an expert in everything. You have to bring in specialists. And so somebody who currently has a model for that in their practice or implements that as a part of their financial planning consultancy, I think that that's something that sets apart a great team from an average advisor.
Yeah. I mean, good points, because end of the day, you just don't want to pick someone at random.
Yeah.
Because these are not like, you know, going and buying a grocery. It's not a big impact. Okay, I didn't like it. Next time I'll go to another store or another pick, you know, another variation.
These are your hard-earned dollars.
Yeah.
Right? Like every single day the time you're exchanging is for money, right?
Yeah.
And the dream is, how soon can you stop exchanging time for money, right? And owning more of your time.
Right.
And so that's really what we're after for all of our clients is, what's the vision? How can we get you there?
Yeah. So it's like, I would say that it's much easier if we are looking for someone, then we go through at least recommendations we get from someone we trust and some introductions, and then we see on our own that, okay, can we connect with this team?
Yeah.
Or can we connect with this group, and are their values kind of aligned in a way that they can be my long-term trusted partners?
True. Yeah, because if you're going to be working with somebody for 20, 25 years,
yeah,
you better hope that you like them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like, you know, I meet the first one through the door, okay, that's my person. So,
yeah. Yeah, I would say if somebody's looking for a good advisory team, you know, don't rush into a decision, because it is your hard-earned money. Make sure that you're interviewing, you're kind of vetting your own personal approach and seeing who's really going to stand above the rest, right?
Yeah.
And make sure that they're all also going to serve your best interests first. And so, you know, there's a number of different things I could tell you about what we do specifically differently. But if we're talking about as a overall broad, you know, advice to listeners and to individuals looking for an advisor, take your time, interview, try to get recommendations from people that you trust in your life who have worked with advisors.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a great place to start. And if anyone wants to speak with us, hey, we're always available too.
Cool. So talking about you and your firm,
yeah,
what do you think is so special about what do you think are your key strengths, and what kind of feedback you get from your clients that gives you the confidence and the pride that, okay, hey, this is what we stand for?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that question. Westpac as a firm, we really put protection as a big priority. And what I mean by that is, when you ask someone, what's the biggest asset that you have, or what's the best asset that you have? A lot of people will say their house, their car, and maybe their job, right? Maybe different variations on that same answer. But essentially, the true answer is themselves, right? You are your own biggest asset. And so looking at making sure that you protect that asset, right? What your ability to work, to produce income, impacts your assets on your balance sheet. It impacts your ability to pay down your liabilities, impacts your future estate planning goals and strategies, right? And so making sure that whatever you have currently in place, disability strategies, life insurance strategies, umbrella policy, different PNC strategies, right? We review those. We're an independent broker for those as well. We don't necessarily have to play for a certain insurance company or anything like that, right? But what we do is essentially we do a review, and we just make sure that what you have in place is appropriate. And if not, we may need to supplement based on your current financial status, right? But that's a big thing about Westpac that I loved, is that it places an emphasis on protect your best assets first, being yourself, being your house, being your job, all of those things, because that really impacts your ability to do anything else. Because if something catastrophic was to happen, it doesn't matter if you invested $50,000 or $100,000 last year, right?
Yeah.
That completely limits your ability to do anything else going forward. And so step number one for every single one of our client interactions and onboarding processes, let's protect what you currently have built, because overnight, some of that might be able to just be washed away, right? And so how do we make sure that we're doing so for every single individual, business, as well as employee that we work with? So step number one with Westpac, and that's something I absolutely love about the fact that we work there and our team is really focused on, let's get the right protection strategies in place. Then from there, you know, I love this statistic. Average American saves between 3.5% to 5% of their income on an annual basis, right? So if you made $100,000, that means at the end of the year, your account went up by $3,500 or so, right? Crazy when you think about it. And so the better statistic that you should aim for is, you know, wealthy American, what's considered wealthy, is they save between 15 to 25% of their income. So the goal for a lot of our clients is, you might be starting at 5%. You might be starting at 0%. How do we get you to 15 to 25 on average, right? That fluctuates over time, all that stuff. different life circumstances, but getting you to that 15 to 25% is huge, right? Saving that right amount. And when we say saving, there's different approaches to saving. It's not just sticking it under your mattress or, you know, sticking it in your savings account. It's also investing 401k, you know, personal investment accounts or buying real estate and so forth, right? So that's really our first two steps is always let's protect your best assets. Yeah. Let's look at how you're adding to the value of those assets through saving. And then how do we eliminate debt? How do we plan for big life purchases such as purchasing a home, buying your next business, buying your next investment property, planning for retirement, and so on, right? But I think at Westpac, our consultative approach, very technology focused. We have a portal, custom, you know, encrypted and everything for all of our clients, their own custom website where they can see their live update of what their net worth looks like. All of these important metrics. I think in this age, you have to have pretty good technology as an advisory team to operate. And we do that very well. And so it's, you know, at Westpac, what sets us apart is kind of our consultative approach and making sure that our clients really understand. We're really big on education. You know, you won't hear a lot of like big words from our team and, you know, just assuming that you know things, right? It's what we call scaffolding, right? Where you build up the knowledge base from the ground up, right? So if you're working on the roof, you got to build a ladder to get there. And that's what we do with all of our clients and their education process. So a couple of things, right?
Yeah. That's amazing. That's, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is one of my favorite questions that if you're talking to a group of business owners, and you have to give some suggestions. Mm-hmm. What would you tell them?
Oh, man. That is such a broad broad question, right?
Anything that you feel like is more dear to you. It could be investment related or it could be something generic. What would you say?
What would I ask them?
Oh, no. What would you say? What kind of suggestions would you give if they are looking for some suggestions?
Sure. I would ask a couple questions to the room. I would say, how many of you own your business? See how many people raise their hands. Out of those people raising their hands, I said, how many of you have a plan for your business over the next 10 years, right? Business planning.
Right.
And then out of those who still have their hand up, I would say, how many of you have a plan for how to exit your business in the next 20 years and seeing how many hands remain? And the truth of the matter is that business owners are very good at running their business, right? They're really good at operating their bakery. They're really good at operating their construction framing company. What are they not specialists at? All the other stuff that goes with it. And so that's what business planning is, right? It's how many of you actually have a game plan in place. There's a statistic that only 1% of Americans actually have a written down plan, a written down goal, whether it's on the individual level or a business level. And people who do write things down, that 1% accomplishes 5 times as many things as people who don't write anything down. And so think about the power of that.
Yeah.
If you start writing things down, coming up with a concrete plan, you have a team that's there to make sure you're sticking on that plan.
Yeah.
How much more can your business do over the next 5 years than what it's currently doing? And so that's what I would say to business owners is get a plan in place. Mm-hmm. Get a plan in place. Know where you're going because you want to have people on your team who could point out the blind spots.
Yeah.
Right? And you're really good at your thing. Keep doing your thing. Keep excelling. Keep pouring and investing into your business. Mm-hmm. But you have to have people that are going to point out the hazard cones along the way and say, hey, let's be more intentional with the decisions we're making. More intentional with the people we surround ourselves with. And that's really what we do at Westpac is we're pointing out those red flags or the blind spots that business owners are missing out on.
You know, very good advice, Jonathan. Yeah, I really like what you just said. Yeah,
I appreciate
it's very
that.
Important. So if any of our listeners want to contact you, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, I would love to speak to anyone interested. Directly, my email is jonathan.pop@westpacwealth. Westpac is spelled P-A-C. You can phone me directly to my office line, 925-302-5322. Or you could check out our website, westpacwealth.com. We have, you know, a page there with our different locations, as well as individuals who are, you know, positioned at those locations and their roles. And you could read some bios and see if there's someone you're interested in connecting with directly. And we'd be happy to speak with anyone and give some further advice.
Great, Jonathan. Really appreciate your time today and sharing, you know, your passion, how you are helping others, and it's a great service you're providing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ajay. This has been a pleasure, and you know, hopefully we'll do another one of these conversations and dive deeper into some of these topics too.
Absolutely. So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. This show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. You can find the recording of the show on our website, businessbythebay.live. And you may send us an email if you have any questions at info@businessbythebay.live. You take care, and we'll be back next weekend. Until then, have a great time and happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.